You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us. It is Tuesday's edition of the podcast. We've got racing at Ayr, Bangor and on the All Weather at Newcastle as well on Tuesday. Hope you can join us for all of the action. It'll be Alex Dunn joined by Craig Forsyth and Andrew Mount on William Hill Racing Radio. But before all that, my name is Sam Norris. Joining me in the studio to take a look at some of the races on Tuesday and a quick spin through the Monday jury as per tradition on this edition of the podcast is commentator Gareth Topham. How are you, Gareth?
Yeah, I'm good. Good. Start of busy season again, even though we've just got into January.
Yeah.
Had a pretty quiet December. Good Christmas, good New Year, but now it's just work again to pay for it all. But scooting here, scooting there, and burning off all those calories I put on over Christmas.
Well, so there was good.
A bit of poundage put on, unnecessary and unwanted poundage.
So. Did you come in overweight after the...
Goodness me, massively over the New Year period. But it's good to get back into the swing of the working life as we get ourselves... well into 2019.
Yes, I like the return to reality as well. In some ways, a lot of people dread it, don't they? But I quite like getting back to normality.
Yeah, I like the escape for a couple of weeks, and I think particularly with us in racing, we're treated to such a good time of things, aren't we? Over the Christmas period, there's so much good racing to look forward to. A lot of people in racing say, well, you know, you almost have two Christmases because you have Christmas Day and then you have Boxing Day.
Yes.
So it's just, you know, the best time ever. But it is quite nice just to settle back down into the swing of things. So many people are blue on this Monday, but it spells the start of a busy few weeks this end, I can tell you that.
Yes, I can imagine.
We'll start I'm guessing with you're in the same boat.
Yeah, I am really. Yeah, everything, well, from now really, it'll just be, as you can imagine, Cheltenham-centric until mid-March now. But we'll start with the Monday jury anyway, as we usually do, and starting with if not the race of the weekend, it wasn't the race of the weekend as such, but maybe one of the best horses that we saw on show all weekend, Lorena. What did you make of her and her champion hurdle aspirations? Obviously we didn't learn a great deal over the course of the weekend, Gareth.
No, it was a two horse race. She was miles clear on ratings of her sole opponent. And she beat that sole opponent by miles, as you'd expect. All we know following Saturday's run is that, obviously, she's well. She probably wasn't even 100% fit. She wouldn't have needed to be anywhere near to dispose of that rival. But she jumps well. She looked very exciting last year. She obviously has got winning form around Cheltenham. And as far as her champion hurdle aspirations go, she probably will go there in March. I'd like to see her run in the champion as opposed to some other race that, you know, she'd be eligible for. We often see it, don't we? If the connections have got something in the main event of the day, they might just use one or two of their other horses and go elsewhere with them and try and bag a double or a hat-trick on the day. But no, we'd like to see Lorena in the big race of the day. And from what we saw back last season, she's probably capable of making an impact. I don't actually think it's necessarily going to be the strongest champion hurdle ever. Bouvardier now obviously has proved himself, you know, he's not unbeatable.
Yes.
I'm working with Kevin today. I know that he's very keen on the other mare in the race here, Verdana Blue, who looks to be a player at bigger prices. And I think we can definitely throw Lorena into the mix. Obviously not ideal just having one by far and away inferior rival to beat at Sandown. But at the same time, she's gone round, she's jumped, she's blown away the cobwebs. And whether we'll see her again before the festival, I don't quite know. But there is obviously the big Irish festival prior to Cheltenham. But and obviously the mares get the allowances as well in the Grade One, so it would be no great surprise. I think we've been quite a while now since we've seen a mare win the champion hurdle. It might well have been Flaky Dove.
No, Annie Power,
and yeah, before her Flaky Dove, and that was in the early 90s. So you know, they are quite a long time between drinks. But it wouldn't be the biggest surprise, particularly now we've seen that Bouvardier does have a a vulnerable side as such, because he didn't do a great deal wrong at Kempton. I remember he clattered one, but he can do that anyway.
Yes.
And he was quick away from the last hurdle, and he looked to be flat out on the running. Obviously a race that he's won before, but he ended up being vulnerable. He got pipped at the post, and it just goes to show that these horses, that they're not necessarily aeroplanes or machines as they get billed out when they win a race impressively. You know, that they're all sort of vulnerable at some point in their careers, you know, unless they're Frankel. And Bouvardier, although he's likely to still be a short price, there might be a little bit of value against him. And at the moment, the mares in the race, Verdana Blue and Larina, are both looking potential players.
On to the novice hurdlers then, and Elixir the Nuts, who won the Tolworth over the course of the weekend. Still a double figure price for the Supreme. I suppose the Tolworth, not one of the premium grade ones that we have throughout the course of the season, Gareth, but it's a bit of a surprise to me that this horse isn't shorter for the curtain raiser of the Cheltenham Festival. What did you make of his performance over the weekend?
Yeah, he's just granite tough, isn't he, Elixir de Nuts? I think the general consensus is that with the novice division at the moment, we possibly haven't seen the very best that what Ireland have got to offer, for whatever reason. Maybe it's just because it's been generally quite a dry winter so far, and we haven't seen some of the very best horses out, but you know, as far as Cheltenham's concerned, they're running out of time. They're going to want to get a prep run in sooner rather than later. We've already alluded to that festival that they have at Leopardstown next month. We might well see one or two sort of live wires turn up there. And I think that must be the general consensus, and that's why Elixir de Nuts is still quite a juicy price for festival glory, given what he's done so far, because he's generally beating everything that he's coming up against in the UK. He shows a very likeable attitude. He jumps well. He's clearly versatile with regards to ground as well. So he's just a very likeable horse. I just think it possibly... He looks a horse that, whilst he's tough and genuine, is he just lacking that real star potential, that real star quality that you often get with a supreme novices hurdle winner, perhaps. But, you know, at the moment, if you fancy Elixir de Nuts, I certainly wouldn't be putting you off, because he has at least been out there, he's been at the tracks, he's been performing, he's been winning these races. He's going there with, you know, a good campaign already under his belt.
And on to the next question then, which is going to be a question that a lot of people will enjoy answering and will enjoy debating the answer.
I'm not.
Are you not? Who's your favourite older horse in training, 11-year-old or upwards, and why? Obviously, we had the final of the Veterans Chase over the course of the weekend, won by Hublin de Zoet Beau on Saturday. Lots of people love the older horses, Gareth.
Yeah,
are you struggling to...
Yeah, it's just caught me out a little bit, this question. I'm trying to think of a horse that's 11 and up. Obviously, there's plenty of them. I suppose at the moment, the standout horse in this age bracket, you know, in terms of quality, must be Undersoaked.
Yes, definitely.
After his Tingle Creek run, where he, you know, whether he gave Altior a race or not, who knows? Yeah, Altior seemed to be well on top at the end, but it's just the way that he's always gone about his work, that horse. You know, that sort of bold jumping, front-running display that... You always think, goodness me, they're going to be vulnerable the last half mile of this. But Undersoaked does keep going. And he didn't stop when Altior went past him in the Tingle Creek. You know, he kept going. So I would probably just side with him. But it's a question I've answered without a great deal of thought, I must admit. And he just appears to be an obvious candidate.
OK, back on to a reflection on some of the action that we've had recently. And Lost in Translation's win in the Dipper Chase, which was New Year's Day, of course. What did you make of that?
Yes, I've only seen the last couple of furlongs of that race on a replay, because I was up at Musselburgh on New Year's Day. And he seemed to get a little bit outpaced on the home turn by, was it Defi Desoy, who he ended up beating. And he stayed on again up the hill. And I just wonder whether 2.5 miles, you know, is a bare minimum for Lost in Translation. He looks to me as though he could well be a horse that could be well suited to something like an RSA. And if he turned up in the RSA chase in a couple of months' time, I'm sure he'd have plenty of supporters, because he seems to be a real strong galloper. He's a good jumper. He's obviously got the form around Cheltenham, so there's a lot to like. But yeah, maybe something like the RSA, definitely further than 2.5 miles.
Stamina test.
Yeah.
Okay, on to the next question then. What are your early impressions of Racing TV and Sky Sports Racing? I'm going to hand you a slight get out of jail card. I imagine you haven't seen too much of the coverage this far.
No, I've got to be careful what I say as well on air. No, I've not seen a great deal of either yet. Obviously, they've only been going properly.
A week or so.
The first week. I did tune into a bit of Sky Sports yesterday, because they were at Plumpton, and there were a couple of interesting races there. I thought it was very slick. I like the graphics. I like the...
Great to have HD pictures as well.
The presentation, obviously, it's in high definition, which was probably a long time coming.
Yeah.
But you know, we're in 2019 now, and they've risen to that. And it all looked very good, all very slick. It sounded good. I like the idea of having presenters everywhere. There was an awful lot to like. As far as racing TV was concerned, you know, they have sort of, I think, been probably setting the standard for a while now, when they were in their old guise as Ruck, of course. You know, they've got very high quality analysis prior to races, very good wrap-ups, and there's always a good selection of other programmes, This Racing Life, things
yes.
like that. I don't know whether that's continuing on with racing TV, I don't know, but you know, there's always plenty to watch. It's a proper racing channel, but there again, you're paying for it.
Yeah, of course.
But no, so I think at the moment we're very blessed. We've got there was obviously a lot of sort of scepticism coming into this with regards to how is the Irish coverage going to be sort of absorbed by racing TV, given the busy
yes.
period that they already have, particularly each Saturday. And that is still probably yet to stand the test. New Year's Day obviously was a busy one, but it was strange turning on the TV the other day and turning on Racing Replay, which is something I watch quite a bit, and actually seeing Tremor, I think it was, on Racing.
Right.
Well, goodness me, just a shock to the system. So, you know, there's going to be plenty of chances to, even if you don't get, you want to see these races live,
yes.
you want to see them in their entirety, and obviously with such a busy period. On weekends, it's going to be tough to cover everything in its entirety, and as it should be, perhaps. But you know, there'll always be a big chance to catch up, and I don't know whether it's going to remain just one channel as time goes on, or whether they will take on you know, another channel for their Irish coverage. I think only time will tell with that. It's all a bit of trial and error
yes.
at the moment. But I think we're very blessed to have two channels which are so heavily dedicated to the sport of horse racing. We've also got it on terrestrial TV still, which is again just a real gift in this day and age.
Yeah, massively.
As I say, ultimately I think we're very blessed, we're very lucky, and the teams on both sides I think are fabulous. They're very different in what they do, their approach to it. I think Racing TV as it is very much a channel for the purist, whereas I think you can have a little bit more fun with the Sky Sports lot. As I say, I just think we're very, very fortunate at the moment. Racing's getting plenty of coverage. And we've seen a couple of tracks sort of jump ship. Maybe we'll see a few more jump ship in time. Again, it's all very much, I think, trial and error at the moment. This year's going to be a whole learning curve, I think, for both channels. But as a viewer, I think we've got it as good as we've had it for quite some time.
Very good answer.
If ever.
Yeah, yes, I agree. And wrapping up the jury, simple on this. Give us horse to back next time out, Gareth. Anything on the mind that you're waiting to see again?
Yeah, I called a horse at Wetherby last... Was it Friday? It was on Friday, called Prince Llewellyn, who's trained by Kim Bailey. And he won a bumper. And I just really, really liked his attitude in the closing stages. He'd finished second at Ascot in a bumper at the end of November, a bumper which has worked out pretty well. And he actually got well supported at Wetherby on Friday. And he went out there from the front, and again, he had one or two challenges come to him, but by golly, he was game. He fought them off. He showed a really likeable attitude. He galloped all the way to the line. I think he'll obviously jump a hurdle in time. He'll get further in time. He's just a really nice type. And although he'll be under a penalty the next time he runs, that attitude of his is going to take him far. So Prince Llewellyn, who's trained by Kim Bailey.
Okay, Prince Llewellyn then is one potentially to follow as far as Gareth is concerned. We'll turn our attention on to matters closer at hand then, namely the racing coming up on Tuesday. We've got Ayrbanger and Newcastle in total, and we'll begin at Ayr with the 2 o'clock race, Handicap Chase, upcoming over 2 miles. And there's a horse you're interested in here, Gareth.
Yeah, I was interested in him a few days ago as well, and it all went wrong. Look, this is going to be a short price double, but I do think they'll both win, provided that horse number 4 in this 2 o'clock race at Las Tunas is none the worse for that tumble, which was only 6 days ago, and it was a heavy fall. Stephen Mulqueen, he's back on board. I think he'll win. Basically, the other day at Ayr, all the connections of this horse were having a big hospitality day, I was led to believe, and everything was primed for a big run. He travelled beautifully, jumped so well up until the moment he crashed out, and he was going to win the race. It was a matter of how far. He gets to race off the same mark here of 87, so connections... He's obviously gone home, he's been assessed, he's clearly fine, and they've just thought, right, let's just let's just get another run into him quickly here before the handicapper sort of has his say. And this race, if anything, looks weaker than the one. He'll be a short price, but provided that he's none the worse, and it's always something that you're taking on trust, because it was a pretty hefty tumble that he took, but he was so in control of that race. I think he'll take all the beating and perhaps reward everyone who backed him the other day with a little bit of compensation, and of course the connections, because it must have been painful viewing. It went from green to red, everything in a split second. It was painful to watch.
Yes, well, hopefully Lastunas then can gain a little bit of compensation for connections in that 2 o'clock race at Ayr. And we've also got a banger as well as the other jumps fixture. We go to the 3:25 for Gareth's second selection. Novice's hurdle this time over just shy of 3 miles. What's on the mind here?
Whether he'll be a shorter price, I'm not too sure. He might well be, given that he's rated £3 ahead of his nearest rival, and then a further £6 ahead of his next nearest rival, if you like, in this race. A horse called 2 for Gold, who again is trained by Kim Bailey. David Bass will be on board. He's actually carrying the same weight as Know the Score and Trio for Rio, so he's better off with them in this category of race than if it were a handicap. He's got a good strike rate, this horse. He's won 3 out of his 5 starts so far, and again, he went from the front at Wetherby last time, and he beat a fairly nice sort of Sue Smith's called The Long Way Around. Of course, Sue Smith are stable as well, like Kim Bailey, very much in form at the moment. It didn't look too bad a race to me. There was a horse of Fergal O'Brien's called Time to Move On that, okay, ultimately disappointed, but was sent off at a short price, was expected to do well. But he jumped well. Again, he galloped all the way to the line. That race was over 2 miles, 5.5. He went through the line strongly. He was crying out, I thought, for a 3 mile trip, and this looks to be the perfect next step for him. So 2 for Gold to double up with Lastunas for me.
Very good. A couple to follow then on Tuesday's racing then from Gareth. Don't forget you can join us for all of the coverage from 12:45 with Alex Dunn, Craig Forsyth and Andrew Mount in the studio. Gareth, thank you for that. Pleasure as always.
Thank
and
you.
Enjoy the upcoming busy period.
I will do.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.